Golf Smarter number 275, published on March 22, 2011, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Managing a successful muni during a budget crisis.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Tim.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for coming on to the show. This is an interesting time for anybody who's working for a city, a municipality, a state in California. Budgets are going on, and that's probably all that you're thinking about because you are really a city employee, correct?
Well, that's a negative here. Actually, it is a municipal golf course, but the city has a charter with the Port District here, the San Diego Port District, because a lot of our property borders that port. So they're the ones that came up with the charter. The city actually pays the Port District $1 a year for this golf course, but there's some stipulations. We can't charge more money for green fees than it costs to maintain the golf course. That's how we keep our green fee schedule in order. And that's why we're one of the top 10 most popular golf courses in America, is that our fee structure is set up for $30 to walk, but it's probably a $100 golf course. So we are actually an entity here for the golf shop operations, Ron Yarbrough Pro Shop Incorporated. We have an operations contract with the city for the golf operation. And then there's another entity on the property, the food and beverage. They control the restaurant or run the restaurant. So I answer to Ron, but we do answer to the city, believe me.
There's so many questions. What are the green fees?
Yeah, we're at $30 to walk Monday through Friday, $35 to walk on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday and holidays, and then it's $46 to ride during the week and $51 ride during the weekend or holidays.
I've had conversations with listeners who live in the Midwestern part of the United States, and to them that would be a reasonable amount of to pay for a round of golf. Mm-hmm. And I've said to them that if I pay less than $70 for a round on the weekend, we talk more about the price than we do about our scores afterwards.
Yeah.
So let's put this in perspective, what $30, $35 for a round of golf costs in the San Diego, Coronado area. Well, what are you competing against?
Well, that's what makes us so unique, is that everybody tries to match what we're doing, and they can't do it fiscally. They can't keep the green fee structure. That if they do, they have to discount it. It's just been set up like this since 1957, which is when we opened. So everything's budgeted to that criteria. So it's easy in our long term, our long range planning, to do our budgets, knowing that's the way, that's all the money that we're going to be able to recover. You know, here's another thing, Fred, is that the green fee money goes straight to the city. That's all of their money. That's what they use to maintain the golf course. Now, as far as competition, if you get a little further north here in the county, there's nothing down here around us that can compete with us. There are a couple of other municipal, or should I say, public golf courses that are close by, but they just don't have what we have to offer. Now, they try to keep their greens fee in order, but it's tough for them to make ends meet doing that. So we kind of have an advantage over them like that. Now, if you get further up into the county here and get further up north where I live around Carlsbad, well, then you're looking at that $70, $80, $90, $100 green fee. And so
is that for a public course, or is that for more of a like daily membership type of thing, or the high end resort courses?
Right. No. That's just a public course. I'm giving an example in Sanitas Ranch. They're green fee. Now, please don't quote me here. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, their green fee structure weekends, I know, is $65, $75 or thereabouts.
Which is still a reasonable price to pay for golf, I think.
Yep. Well, that's so people look to come down here. That's why I think 2 years ago we were the eighth busiest 18-hole golf course in America. We did over 100,000 rounds, and you know, and some of these other people around here live do 35,000 to 40,000 rounds. So,
wow. Yeah, so you do realize we're recording this, right?
Yes.
I know that you knew that, but when you said "don't quote me," it's like, why would I have to? You just said it.
Yeah, I guess I did. Don't quote me or don't hold my feet to the fire. Yeah, I don't have their fee structure in front of me, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But it's through research that I know that's where we stand. And we get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of phone calls about people always asking about our fee structure and what are y'all charging here and what do y'all do for this. And it's the other people checking us out to see what they can do. So
are you guys running it? I mean, the maintenance fees, maintenance of the golf course alone, are you running at a loss or does that not matter? Are you just breaking even? Profit doesn't matter? I don't understand it. I'm sorry.
The
golf industry is freaking out now, and you're like, yeah, well, $35, who cares?
Well, I'm trying to keep a smile on my face, but no, there's no doubt that the economy has hit us the last 18 months in the pro shop and on the golf course. Our rounds were down about 6,000, I think, from the previous year. I'm down about 35% in my retail in the golf shop. Hmm. So you can see, and I felt this a couple of years ago when the women would come in here and quit buying. You know, generally those women will come in and buy stuff, but boy, when they close the pocketbook up, then you know something's going on. So, yes, the economy has affected us here, but he passed a budget, and he is Roger Miller, our director of golf services, and he is the he works for the city, and he is the liaison for the property to the city, but he is responsible for the maintenance of the course, too. So he's a superintendent, and his budget is set up to break even. You're exactly right. There is no profit generated. They try not to generate anything that's left, you know, goes into the general fund, and it's not much. They try to budget it to the dollar, and he had some capital expenses the last couple of years, and this has driven his budget down a little bit, so he's having to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and trying to figure it out, but it's a little more simple than working for so corporately run now, the golf industry, with all the management companies and stuff. It's so much easier me answering to Ron as the owner of this corporation rather than trying to sit down with a board or somebody trying to explain to them why we were $3,000 off on the budget. You know, we just kind of play it by ear and just hope that the condition of the course and our beautiful golf course bring people out here to play.
And when you talk about the golf shop, are you able to have competitive prices for other retailers, or are you fixed on that too? Or are you guys trying to make a profit in there?
No, we definitely try to run a profit. You know, the standard in the industry is called Keystone, and we're way below that because we have to fight with the discount houses and the other golf shops that don't use that revenue really for budgeting, whereas we do. I have to use that money to help for all the expenses around here. So we do definitely make a profit. Now, like I said, my resale has been off the last 16 months, 16 to 18 months, almost 35%. So I'm sure that's the economy speaking to us there.
Man, amazing. Tim, did you know that this episode of Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestseller books. Now, for Golf Smarter listeners who have yet to give Audible a try, we encourage you to do it. They'd like to give you a free audiobook of your choice so that you can hear for yourself how great the experience of reading an audiobook can be. With this offer, just go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and choose any audiobook from their incredible library. Now, I want to ask you, Tim, are you an audiobook listener or an Audible?
My wife and I are. We because of our commute, we listen to that's how we do our reading, or a lot of it is we listen. And that is a great concept. I'm doing that. I did that this morning coming down, as a matter of fact.
And do you and your wife commute together? So are you generally listening to the same book?
She gave me the one that I'm reading now or listening to now. She gave me that a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
But we don't get to commute together. I wish we could.
But you still get to talk about your... Now, that's interesting. So you share books, you share audiobooks, so that you can talk about the last book that you read.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really interesting. So do you have a book you'd like to recommend to us?
Well, she gave me the Glenn Beck book, which is Broke. And it has a subtitle underneath it. I'm not sure what that is, but it's just his explanation and his research about how this country got in the situation it did, owing $14 trillion, and his suggestions and about how we should get out of this. And it's a good book from the heart. It doesn't confuse you. And Mr. Beck has his own views, but
it's one way to put it.
Yeah, right. Yes. But if you'll take that with your own grain of salt, then it does help. It does kind of put it in perspective for us. So I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Oh, well, thank you for your testimonial. The name of the book, actually, I just looked it up. It's called Broke, The Plan to Restore Our Trust, Truth, and Treasure by Glenn Beck. And it is available on Audible. And if that is your bent and that is your interest, then please check that one out, Glenn Beck, Broke. And you can get it for free if you'd like, if that's the one you want to choose. But you have a huge choice to go from. And again, all you have to do for that free audiobook to get started is audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE. Now, Tim, I'd like to get back to some of the specifics on Coronado Golf Course. Let's talk about the geography of where you are in relation to the San Diego area. I mean, for the pricing that you're talking about, I can imagine that it's a great place to play for people on vacation when they have so many other expenses in the Southern California area that at $35 a round, it's like, I'll see you in 5 hours. I'll be back. Where exactly are you located? And
Coronado Island here in San Diego Bay is attached to San Diego proper by a very large bridge. It's called the Coronado Bay Bridge, and it was built in 1968. And before that, people would either have to go around and come up Imperial Beach along what they call the Strand to get to the island, or they had to take a ferry across. So they built a big bridge, and boy, that opened up the golf course over here. Everybody came to play then. And we're about 12 minutes from the airport. We're 10 minutes from the convention center. And all the downtown hotels, so we're very popular that way. And like you said, our pricing structure brings people here constantly. Our website brings people here, and we get calls sort of like yours, Fred, asking these questions all the time, like, how can you offer golf for $30? I'm looking at these pictures, and it looks like Pebble Beach. And we have four holes that go to the bay, and it's just a very unique, beautiful property, and it's a blessing for me to be here. I've been in the industry for 33 years, and the last 14 have been here, and it's just been paradise. So, it's easy to get here. It's right on Interstate 5. We're actually about 7 or 8 miles from the Mexican border. You can actually see Tijuana from a couple of the holes here on a clear day.
Wow.
And, Coronado Island is very unique in itself. It's... I'll give you an example. There's houses across the street from us, and beautiful homes for sale, and they sold it, and the guy came in and tore it down. They sold it for $2.7
million,
and he came in and tore it down and built his own. So,
oh, my.
That was such a beautiful home, and there's homes priced like that here on the island. There's about 30,000 people that live out here, but there's military. There's military bases here. We have North Island, where the aircraft carriers and the submarines are stationed, and then we have the amphib base, where they train the southern West Coast SEALs. They have SEAL training here. So it's very much a military town, and it's San Diego is very much a military town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and then... our demographics here, there are some people, some of the older people here that have been here since 1950, and they bought the property then. And so those people make up a lot of our rounds here. Our local people make up a lot of our rounds, and it's starting, you know, through attrition, unfortunately. We're starting to miss some of those people, but it is a very unique, beautiful property, and it's we just call it paradise.
Are you generally, I know that I've been to San Diego times where the coast is fogged in, but you go in by just a mile or less, and it's clear and beautiful and warm. Are you socked in fog a lot when you're there?
You know what? We've had a few fog delays here. But, you know, on the other hand, we can, on the other hand, when it's raining inland, it's not raining here. and also, because of the way they've built the golf course, they built it through dredging. They built it through the sand. So we have the greatest draining golf course in Southern California. So
wow.
If no one else is playing, we're playing. And it just doesn't hold water. It just drains so quick. So, and another thing, we say we have a little umbrella over us out here in Coronado, and the rain will blow through, and it'll be beautiful out here, and people will call us from 5 miles away and say it's raining cats and dogs here, and we say, come on out and play some golf. So it's really strange, and we do. We've had a couple fog delays. It was pretty darn foggy this morning, but heck, you just get out there and get going. Not enough to hold up tee times, but you know, you can definitely see the fog rolling in on us.
Yeah. So you are. It's a pretty flat course, I have to imagine.
It is. Yeah.
So it's an easy walk.
It is. It's a great walk. You know, we'd much rather for you to ride, but yeah, it is a great walk, and it's, you know, it's 6,600 yards from the back tees. It doesn't sound so competitive, but you know, we get some of the best. Amateur players, you know, within the Southern California anyway, to play our city pro-am, and that's a two-day event, and only 500 or 600 wins that tournament. And those guys, you know, I mean, the course record here is 60, so, you know, it can be had, but in tournament play, when the tees are back and the wind's up, it's a challenge to get around here.
I'm kind of blown away. Now, you said you're in the bay.
Correct.
So yeah, you're not exposed to the Pacific, or you are?
We're not. We're on the inside curl of the island. So if you were entering San Diego Bay, Coronado Island would be on your right-hand side as you entered the bay, and we're on the San Diego City side of that island, looking across the bay at the city.
So with the recent devastation in Japan, and I know that tsunami hit California pretty hard, hit Northern California pretty hard. There was millions and millions of dollars worth of damage to boats that were docked.
Yes. Yes.
Did the water level rise enough to have an impact of the golf course?
Not an impact here, not at all. No, nothing was even said about it. It kind of lost its power as it came across the point there, you know, up around, you know, above L.A., kind of lost its power there, so that we were not affected at all. And it did roll through some of the, you know, they had the yacht clubs and stuff, and it did roll through there. They did mention that, but nope, didn't affect us whatsoever.
You're very lucky in that.
Yeah.
What about in the history of the golf course, you're saying it's been around a long time. Who was the designer of the course?
Yeah, the original designer was Jack DeRay. That's D-A-R-A-Y, Jack DeRay. And then later on, that was in 56 and 57, and then later on, his son actually came in and did some rework on it. So Jack DeRay Jr. came later. And they changed a few holes around from the original layout. They changed it quite a bit. They used to have a hole that ran under the bridge and further north, but they got all the property, or all set all the property on this side, and they had to shrink a par 4 to a par 3. But the changes are minimal. They go back and do some restructuring every now and then. We added a few bunkers a couple of years ago and a couple of holes, and it's kind of political around here. We can't have lights on our driving range because of the people across the street say that that's not right. They have to look at the lights at night. So those people, when we get to City Hall, they do some talking, and So I'd love to have lights on a range. I mean, that would help us quite a bit, but that's not going to happen here in Coronado. Mm. So,
let's go over a couple of your favorite holes on the course. I want to know how you would play it and what club you need in your bag to do well playing Coronado.
Okay. Well, I like number 9. It's a par 3. It can be stretched back to about 190 yards, but they generally play the white tees, the middle tees, at about 160. There's water in to the left, all around the left side of the green. The green is long and narrow, and you can end up with a 60, 70-foot putt on that. And when you're coming in on that ninth hole after a pretty good first 8 holes and you knock one in the water, boy, that sure makes you mad. So, yeah, you kind of ruin or make your score there. I like that hole. And then 17... it's a par 4. It's a hard dog leg left that runs along the bay. And your drive, you actually can't see the green from your drive because of the palm trees and the trees, eucalyptus down the left. So hard dog leg left, but the drive has to be hit at least from the white tees about 230, 220 to 230 to make that corner. And they came in there and built a big, huge bunker complex on that corner because some of the longer hitters were cutting that corner off, and they didn't think that was fair with the new equipment. So they built a bunker complex there that if you want to challenge that, you better be carrying it about 260, 270. So the play is straight off the tee, and then it hard dog leg left, well protected green, and it's a challenge because that bay runs down the right side. And there's hazard down that right side. They have it staked red when you get out to the beach. So you can get a horrible sandy lie out to the right. Or if you're a long, long hitter, you can hit it through the fairway straight away if you're carrying it about 270. And that rolls up into the ice plant. So it's a precision hole, but it's one of our longest, and it's one of our toughest, that's for sure. When you get that wind involved, it's a par 4, is you got a big smile on your face going to number 18.
Is the smile because the wind is blowing your face so hard it's just blowing your...
Boy,
you get a lot of wind?
I walk off there. Pardon?
You get a lot of wind?
You know, not really. It's more of a... there's been a few times when we have what's called the Santa Ana, and you from California, you know what that is. We get that Santa Ana wind blowing through here that...
But that's going towards the ocean. That's coming from the mountains, right?
That's correct.
It's the hot air, yeah.
Yeah, it comes blowing in, from inland out to the ocean. And when we get that wind, this golf course plays really tough because the prevailing is westerly, northwesterly, and that's how they design the course. So, but boy, if you turn that wind around, it gets tough.
Interesting. I'm sorry. I'm still having a tough time digesting the $35 round in a California course. And I can only imagine because of municipal courses that I've played in this state that there's going to be a lot of brown patches. Not going to be a lush golf course like if you're going into Palm Desert or Palm Springs or even in a Phoenix area. Am I right that it's going to be, your maintenance, it's just, you're running
well, I can tell you this.
Course.
Yeah, we have a new super, Roger Miller, I mentioned his name earlier.
Yeah.
He's been here a couple of years, and his relationship with the grasses around here is becoming stronger and stronger. We have a lot of the, that African grass that's up on Riviera, what's that grass called? Oh my gosh!
Well, if you're near Tijuana, I can imagine what the grass is called, but that's something else altogether.
Right. What's the name? Oh gosh, I can't think of the name.
That's
right,
okay.
Here.
I won't
throughout the course.
I won't quote you on it.
Yeah, we have bent grass and seaside bent and some poana on the greens. The condition of this course is beautiful. You know, I mean, we're coming out of the winter right now, so we're not a lush green, but the fairways are like carpets. The greens are smooth and fast, and it's a true challenge. So, you know, we've had plenty of people like you, Fred, walk back in and say, how do you charge $30 to walk on the week here? You know, they tell you this isn't a $100 golf course, but they're happy they were just charged $30, believe me.
Gosh. I'm just, this is... Do you also have people from other golf courses, people who run golf courses calling, going, how do you do it, and stop doing that because you're killing our business?
Yeah, I know. That's part of it. You know what? The local people here, almost everybody in the county, knows what the situation is with the port. Mm-hmm. And what the arrangement is. Now, we have to explain it all the time when people say, how can you do that? But like I said, if you do that for, we're close to over 50 years, then you learn how to budget to it.
Sure.
And another thing is that the city, the maintenance workers for our golf course really work for the city as park and recreation. So that budgeting, even though Roger is paying for that through his green fee money, that budgeting is easier for them as far as figuring out how much money. I mean, if that makes any sense to you. So we're it's difficult to explain if somebody doesn't know that kind of a relationship with the Port District. But once they understand it, then they think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So,
and is the Port District's budgets affected by California budgets at all? I mean, are the slashing that's going on in Sacramento being felt down there?
Boy,
directly.
You know, that is a good question. I'm really not sure about that. I don't know how they're going to function, or how they function in conjunction with a state. I know that they rule with an iron fist down here. It's if you have property that borders that bay, then you have to go through them if you're doing anything with it. So they had a lot of power that way.
Yeah, but where's the port getting their money from?
Yeah, where does the port get their money? Get it back in the well.
Wait a minute, we buried the lead. That may be the story.
Yeah. Right, I know it. They don't get it from rent from this golf course. I can tell you that. But there are other restrictions here that the port did put on the charter. We have to treat everyone equally here, which means you can't offer a lower green fee for Coronado people. The green fee structure is the way it is. We have no military structure. We have no senior structure. It's just, here it is. You can't show favoritism in any way. And so that restricts you a little bit about attracting people to your property. But since our green fee structure is so low, it's not a problem here.
You mean some people would be complaining they'd feel like they're not getting a discount?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, but I'm a senior. Wait a minute, I live here. Oh, come on, you're paying $35 to play a round of golf.
Exactly.
I just see it as being a huge a magnet for travelers.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is. And we're breaking a paradigm now about availability here because, like I said, I've been here 14 years, and for the first 5 years they go, oh, you work at Coronado? Gosh, I'd love to play there, but I can't get on. So that was what everyone said when they mentioned Coronado, oh, it's great, but you can't get on. So that's been changing the last couple of years, the way that the green fees are made, or the way that tee times are made. The local people are in the men's and ladies club, and so they have their specific times that they get to play. But it's it is so unique, Fred. It's just a very unique property, and like I said, I've been doing it for a long time. And you know what? I don't think I would get back in the golf industry if I left here.
Wow.
Actually, in this position, I really don't. It's just we're getting to run our own business, and we don't have to worry about the corporate angle. And the city, as long as we're doing things right, obviously, and we're very customer oriented around here, then they're happy with what goes on here because it's a jewel in the crown for them.
Sure.
Is
it a true perception? I mean, people saying they can't get on, their perception is that it's just difficult to get. Is that basically true? Is it very tough to get onto the course?
It was, and only in the last couple of years since Mr. Miller's come on have we tried to go back to the city council and change some of the parameters about when tee times are given and the process so that it opens it up to more people. It used to be I hate to say it, but kind of a good old boys thing here back in the 60s because the people that were here, they took care of them. They were Coronado residents and the bridge wasn't up. And so, they kind of ruled the roost here.
So how long in advance do you need to make a tee time?
Well,
you make a tee time?
Yeah, we go 3 to 14 days in advance.
Oh.
Yeah, that's through the pro shop. Now, there is a fee, there's a $15 per person fee for taking those tee times out of the book that early. There's a charge for that. So you
meaning if you make your reservation farther in advance than that?
No, you can't make it any further than 14 days.
Oh, so then
but
it's tough to...
If you're in that 3 to 14-day window, then there's a $15 charge per person to play. It's an advance fee. It's a non-refundable fee. It doesn't apply to any of the fees around the course.
Wait a minute. So the $35 is a walk-on fee.
If you just walk
in and say, I'd like to play today, right now, today, in the next hour or something, okay, it's $35. But if you call in advance, it's $35 plus the $15.
Yes, now that's 3 to 14 days. We give the tee times out for free 2 days in advance.
Okay, so that's for a local. Like for a local, that's great. But if you're traveling and you want to make it, you want to know that you're going to be able to play, that can make it a little tougher.
Absolutely.
I know. I knew we'd get there somehow. Well, tell us. Okay, so now direct us to your website. What is the URL for your website?
It's golfcoronado.com.
CoronadoCoronado.
GolfCoronado.com. Yeah, and that's our official website.
Okay, and if they want to call and talk to somebody in the pro shop, the phone number?
Is 619-435-3121, extension 1, to get you right to the shop.
All right, and we'll also put that in the show notes and our blog as well, so if anybody wants to go and check on it, that you can click on that and it'll send you right to it. Tim Bigham, thank you so much for your time. And if anyone hasn't figured it out yet, I'm making a trip down to San Diego, and I'm looking forward to playing there and hopefully getting a chance to meet you.
Yeah, great. I'll be here, and then we'll see you on April 2nd, right?
Yeah, that's about the time. We're making our trip.
Yeah,
all right, Tim. Thanks so much for coming on to Golf Smarter.
You bet, Fred. See ya.
Just a note, I received a press release from Dixon Golf, makers of the Dixon Earth, Wind, and Fire balls, the only tour-quality, eco-friendly balls on the market, has signed a partnership with their inaugural college program. I bring it up because in the press release, it says that Ed Bethea, head coach of the highly regarded women's golf program at Dodge City Community College, approached Dixon after hearing about the Earth ball's playing quality and being safe for the environment right here on the Golf Smarter podcast. Thank you, Ed. That's very nice of you. And thanks for Dixon to even mention it. Next up, for members only, we're going to speak to a city manager and the head professional, two different people, at an even higher profile public course in San Diego, historic Torrey Pines. Then in two episodes for everyone, we'll have a golf professional answer a question you have about your swing or your game. Now, if we use your entry, you'll receive a free live internet-based lesson, including webcam analysis and conversation with one of the PGA professionals from the team at golfcoachdirect.com. You could submit your question right now by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.